I went on my first missions trip when I was 16 years of age. Now, the funny thing was, I wasn't even a Christian. But I'd grown up in the church. I'd made a verbal profession of faith, had not trusted Christ in my heart, had not learned about having a relationship with the Lord, about following Jesus. My church emphasized all the externals of Christianity, but not coming to know and love Christ intimately and building a relationship with God. So they all thought I was a Christian, and my parents wanted me to go. They thought this would be something very beneficial. So I went with my pastor. None of the other teenagers could go. It ended up just being myself and my pastor to a little town about 3 hours away from where we lived in Southern California, a Mexican border town named Tecate. And during that week on Easter break, we got involved in ministry during the day. We distributed Gospels of John in the Spanish language door to door. And I was with my pastor, and I'd taken a little Spanish in high school, but I was scared to death, so I let him do all the talking. He had been a missionary for 5 years in Brazil, and he spoke Portuguese. And he had just such a heart for missions, he managed to communicate with Spanish speakers in Portuguese, because there is a lot of similarities, but he made it work, and we had a wonderful time distributing Gospels of John. First day, I was scared to death, but as the week progressed, I thought, this is really neat. I just saw the excitement and the receptivity of the Mexican people as we handed them El Evangelio de San Juan and offered them a free Bible study course that they could mail in to Guadalajara, be sent to them free lesson by lesson, La Luz de la Vida, the light of life, a Bible study course on the Gospel of John. And many, many thousands of Latin Americans were won to Christ over the years by that method of evangelism. Evening services we'd have in the churches there in Tecate, we would do exactly the kinds of things that you've seen the young people and the adults do this morning. We'd get up and sing Spanish choruses that we learn. I learned that first verse in chorus. I actually learned the whole song of Heaven Came Down. Heaven Came Down has always been one of my favorite songs. I learned that in Spanish that trip. I've never forgotten it. Wasn't even a Christian, but I've never forgotten the words of that song. And we would get up, and I didn't get up and share my testimony. I managed to somehow dodge that, because you know what? I didn't really have a testimony to share. It was a false testimony. So I managed to get out of that and plead shyness and all of that. But I did sit there and watch as the week progressed. These young people from other churches share their testimonies. And as time passed, I realized that these kids had something I didn't have. They had a real testimony. They had a real relationship with Christ. I didn't really understand what was different at that point between them and me, but I knew something was. They would gather together after the services back at the little motel we stayed at. And as the week progressed, the Spirit of God took what was happening and more impacted their lives. And I was so timid and shy, and also I wasn't a Christian, so there was a fear to get too close, and so I would just sort of stand back off in the darkness watching as they would gather in a prayer circle, and they would talk about what we had seen that night and what we had heard and the exuberance of the Mexican Christians and the church and their joy of the Lord and how different it was from the average church here in America. And I watched God impact these kids one by one, and the tears would be flowing down these kids' faces as they talked about what they'd seen God do and how it was impacting them. It made a huge impact on me. It was a major part of God starting to show me, and really it was the first step in God showing me that it's one thing to say some words. It's a whole other matter to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ with your heart. It's a whole different matter. That words don't save you. Faith does. I didn't understand that. I couldn't figure that out, but I knew these kids had something special. I knew they had something I didn't understand. The next year, my pastor, he just loved it. He said, let's go again. He came to me and said, let's go again. Only this time we went to Ensenada, a town about 60 miles south of the border. And I was ready to go the next year because I'd had such a great experience. Still wasn't a Christian. I didn't get saved till my freshman year in college. But I went that second time, and this time I was not quite as afraid. I knew what to expect. I knew what we were going to do. I participated more enthusiastically, and I looked forward to trying to get to know some of these really great kids. I don't know, I just sort of thought it would rub off on me, I think. And I really wanted the same joy that they had, because I was miserable with my life. And so I went that next trip. And God used those missions trips to begin to show me what real Christianity is. Two things showed me. What God was doing in the life of the American teenagers as a result of it. The second thing was watching the Mexican believers. I've told the group here, and of course Delmi knows, she confirmed it, oh, if I could only speak Spanish like Delmi can. When you're in a worship service down there, I told them there's so much joy. It's a celebration. They will clap. These guys will clap, and they won't even be understanding the songs. They'll pick things up as time goes on, and they'll sing a little bit here and there, but they'll be able to clap. But you will clap so long your hands are raw. My hands have actually gotten swollen from clapping so much in those services, but it's a celebration. They love to come to church. They love to worship God because they love Jesus with all their hearts. They don't have all the distractions that have distracted American Christians here. We're so easily distracted from Christ here. It's amazing. They don't have all that. What they have is a relationship with Jesus, and they love him dearly. And he's the most important thing in their lives. And that comes across. And I'm anxious for this group to see that. To see what that looks like. Verity saw it in Togo with the Togolese. Going to see it in Peru now with the Latin American Christians. God used all that in my life and started drawing me, started communicating to me, there's something real here that you don't have. You've not placed faith in Christ. And that helped prepare my heart when things hit bottom in my life to trust Jesus Christ as a college freshman. Little did I know that 2 years after that, Glenn Terry, who had been the leader, we all loved Glenn. He'd been the leader for World Gospel Crusades, the little mission board we went with there in Upland, California. Glenn had been the leader of both of those trips. Little did we know that 2 years later, Glenn Terry would die in a plane crash. And when I reached my third year of college, Dr. Russell, the president of World Gospel Crusades, would see something in me that he believed God could use. And he'd say, Mark, are you willing to come and willing to help us with these missions trips? Help us recruit young people, not only for the Easter break trips to Mexico, but for full summer trips to Mexico, farther down, Mexico City, Guadalajara, Monterrey, on down through Central and South America, where we are working. Would you come and work with us? And I assumed the position that Glenn Terry, this man I looked up to, had held. Had no idea at 16 years of age I would actually be leading those missions trips. And over the next 3 years, I led nearly 30 missions trips down through all parts of Mexico, Central America, and South America. And I'm so committed and so convinced of the value of what things like this and what we are doing that I continued as a pastor to have missions trips in churches. We've taken missions trips all over Mexico in the pastorates I've had. We've taken them to Ecuador. We've taken them to, as I've told you, I've taught it over in other cultures now, in Russia and in India. We've gone to Torreon and many, many other places. And I will tell you this, I have gone with hundreds of people on these missions trips. I have yet to take a missions trip that every person on that missions trip wasn't impacted in some way for God, especially me. It helped me come to Jesus. Folks, this is a good investment. This is a great investment for our church. To invest in lives like this, to let them see firsthand that the Holy Spirit is dynamically at work all over the world, saving souls. to let them get involved for a few days, to let them meet missionaries who've given their lives to ministry in another country, so much so that that country has become their home, more so even than here where they came from. That is their home now. To let them see all of this, to let them see the exuberance and the joy in the Peruvian Christians, to let them see the warm smile that you receive in Latin America when you reach out and you smile and you shake someone's hand and the love of the Lord is extended back to you. To let them experience all of that. Folks, it's a great investment. And who knows? Who knows who the next missionary will be out of these groups that God raises up? There's no better way to recruit missionaries today than have people go on short-term trips to the mission field. See it firsthand. It's the best way in the world to recruit missionaries. This church believes in missions. It always has. We support a lot of different missionaries. This church loves missions, and rightfully so. And this church has always been generous in supporting missions and missions trips. Your offering 2 years ago when our group, including two of my children, went to Togo. My daughter, let me show you, talk about impact. My daughter, Sarah, missions was something she'd never even considered. What drew her to Togo was the desire to see another culture, and also she's going down a medical track in her career. And in fact, she's getting ready to start applying to medical school. She's finishing up her master's degree in public health in California here in just a few weeks, and she's going to start applying to medical school. And I've told you before, now, she went over there and just wanted to the chance to be involved in the medical aspect. But she saw missions. She saw people getting saved. She saw how ABWE, Dr. Cropsey, Steve Mills, all the rest of the team are using the cup of cold water, the act of kindness in the name of Jesus Christ to win souls. Doc has told us that they average 100 souls a week at the hospital there, coming to Jesus because of the mercy ministry of medicine that they're doing and how they share the gospel in that. That made such an impression on my daughter, who never ever considered missions, that when she came home, she changed her whole attitude towards missions and said, that's something I'd really be open to. She was so impressed by missions and missionaries. Who knows who God might impact in this group? Who knows who out of this group might become the next missionary from our own that we send out to a foreign field? That's what God wants to do. And that's what God wants to impress and expose this group to.